Good to see you this afternoon. Now, I'll go ahead and apologize. The allergies are kicking up in my throat, and I'm having a little trouble talking tonight. But if you'll bear with me, we'll get through this. But tonight, I want to go back to something we've been doing off and on for a little while, and that's discussing the meanings behind the songs that we sing, to try to think a little more critically about the message we're sending to one another. Paul tells the Corinthians that we are to sing with the understanding, just as we're to pray with the understanding. And what that means is that I can't just sing because that's what I'm supposed to do. And we have a lot of these songs memorized, and I can do them from heart, and it just comes out. Are we thinking about what we're singing about? Are we thinking about the words that we're singing? As Paul tells both the Ephesian church and the Colossian church, that when we sing, we are to teach and admonish one another. And so in an effort to strive to do that, we've tried to look at some of the songs we sing. And each time I've looked at them with a theme in mind. And tonight, I want to look at songs that speak about the nature of love. Love is a big word, and probably not a topic in history of humankind has there been more books and speeches and articles and all classes done on but love. And the world has a lot of different ideas about what love is. In this room, we may have different ideas about what we think love is. But I want to talk about it from a biblical standpoint, about what love means in the eyes of God. Now, as you know, in the Greek language, there were, I think, five different words that spoke about love. And each word meant something different. Now, in our English, we translate all five of those love. And so sometimes we can kind of miss the point of the Greek word because we know it only as love. Well, when you talk about, sorge love, well, that means something very different than the topic we're going to talk about tonight, which is agape love. Sorge is that parental love, that love a parent has for their child. Well, agape love is the love God has for all of us. And in 1 Corinthians 13, he speaks about that. And I want to spend just a few moments just looking at that passage. We know the Corinthian church was struggling with, in regard to their love. Paul condemns them in chapter 11 because they were taking the fellowship or the Lord's Supper, and they were combining it with a fellowship meal. And in doing so, they were keeping from one another. So not only had they corrupted their worship, but they were also corrupting their fellowship by doing that. And that's why he says, do you not have homes to eat in? Well, the point was, you're not mature enough as a Christian to share in a fellowship meal together because all you're doing is using your fellowship meal to divide you. So eat at home. Well, then we get to chapter 12, then he talks about the struggle they have in their worship in regard to prophecy, to all those supernatural gifts. And they're prizing one supernatural gift over another, Holy Spirit-inspired gift. And they were elevating the speaking in tongues above everything else. And so their worship services were really corrupted. And so Paul is trying to help them clean it up. And so when you get to chapter 13, you notice that it's sandwiched right between chapter 12, which speaks about the corruption of Holy Spirit gifts, and chapter 14, which speaks about the corruption of Holy Spirit gifts. What's right in between both of them? A discussion about love. He's trying to remind them about the unity, about the way they should act with one another. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, he says in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And right after this, he'll talk about what is going to fail eventually, which is those Holy Spirit gifts are eventually going to vanish away. And so then you get down to verse 13, and he leaves this chapter with this note. And now abide, when all the rest are gone, when you don't have speaking in tongues, you don't have supernatural prophecy, when you don't have all those other things that men apprise as valuable, he says these three remain: faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. It's so important that as Christians, as a family, that we seek after what's best for one another, that we truly try to show to one another what it means to love. Now, I mentioned here the type of love that's mentioned. When you look in the Greek, it's the word agape. Each and every time in this passage. And what does agape mean? Well, agape means a type of love that gives without expecting return. It's a sacrificial love, a love that an action that is taken by one party completely on behalf of the other, in a sacrificial way, expecting nothing in return. And so he goes through there and he talks about what love is not. There's a lot of different kinds of love, a lot of different loves that people think they have. Does it meet these qualities? Is it long-suffering and yet kind? You know, I can be kind for a little while, but man, you make me suffer for a real long time, I'm not going to be as kind. Paul says love suffers long. It means we have to endure things with one another. We don't always get along. I might do something that annoys you. You still going to love me? You may do something that annoys me. Am I going to still love you? Love does not envy. Do you look around at the people around you and envy or become jealous of what they have, what they may possess, what they may be able to do? Maybe you like to lead singing, but you're like me and nobody needs to hear that. Should I envy others who can do it? Love does not parade itself. When I do something well, am I all about boasting about it? Do I puff myself up? It does not behave rudely. When we think about how our actions and our words affect somebody else, it's so easy to say something and it come out in a way that may hurt someone else's feelings. Do we take other people's feelings into account before we speak? Very difficult, especially when we become angry, or we become agitated, or anxious, or stressed, or tired. Love does not seek its own. It's not after its own goals, but it's after the goals of the brethren, of one another. It is not provoked. Are you easily provoked? Is it easy for you to get angry or mad at someone? Thinks no evil. What is it that you concentrate on? Are we thinking about things above, as Paul exhorts the Colossians? Or are we thinking about things of the world? Do we rejoice in iniquity? Now, if you go back to chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, you'll see why he brings that up. They were rejoicing in sin, and that wasn't right. It rejoices in the truth. Is that really what we're after? Or are we more like the brethren that Paul writes to Timothy about in 1 Timothy chapter 4? We have tickling ears wanting to heap up teachers who will tell us things we like to hear than the truth. What's more important to us, truth or feeling good? It bears all things. Kind of a repeat of that first thing, right? Long suffering. Are you able to bear with your brethren? Galatians 6:1, the passage we looked at this morning. Are we able to bear one another's burdens? Are we ready to help one another out? Are we ready to do the hard work? It believes all things. Now, it doesn't talk about all kinds of different truths. What he's talking about is, do you believe in one another? Do we believe in each other? Do we have faith in one another that we're going to do what's right and that we're working as a team? Or are we suspicious of one another? Always waiting for someone else to falter. Hopes all things. Do you hope the best for your brethren, for the church? It endures all things. There are going to be some ups and downs. Are you going to remain faithful through all the ups and downs? Be some difficult times ahead for some of us, if not all. Are we going to remain faithful? Are we going to remain faithful to the love God has shown us? If we are, Paul concludes by saying, love never fails. If we love like God loves, we will never fail in what we're doing. Tonight, I want to spend some time looking at some songs dealing with love. And the first song I want to look at is Hymnal 367. If you want to go ahead and turn there. The song is entitled Faithful Love. It was written in 1993, a relatively new song. It's not very long ago, and some of you may know it, some of you may not. Be good practice for us to learn a new song, if not. But when I read the words of the song, and I want you to notice what it speaks about, what we're saying to one another. Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown. Makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear. Hold my hand when I can't stand on my own. Verse 2, faithful love is a friend when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace. Tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire. Burning bright in the night, guiding our way. I couldn't help but be reminded of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and you remember in the passage he speaks about being reborn. And Nicodemus is kind of, what do you mean? You can't be reborn. And then he goes on to say, unless one is reborn of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And as he goes on through this discussion, you get to verse 13, you notice what he says. He says, no one has ascended it to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. We'd already done that to ourselves. But that the world through him might be saved. think about God's love for me, and I'm astounded each and every time at just how perfect a love it is. How such a sacrificial, forgiving love he has. God desperately wants to love us and to be known by us. Would you join in singing this hymn?
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the sailor's love, and I'll never be the same, for by same faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Faithful love is a friend just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I see faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name.
The next hymn I want to talk about is 954 in your song books. 954, you all, I bet all of us will know the song, even the little ones. It's a song we learn early on in childhood if we are attending services at all. The song was written in 1860 by Anna B. Warren. What's interesting about the writing of the song is that Anna and her sister were prolific writers. They wrote a lot of poems and songs and things like that. They were active, and I don't know what religious group they're part of, but they were part of teaching Bible class, and they wrote a lot of songs for that. Well, she wrote a book, and in the book, she actually included this song as a part of the book. Well, a man named, I think his name was William Bradbury, discovered the song, and he wrote the melody to it, and it became maybe the most popular song in the whole, well, at least our country, maybe the worldwide. For children, Jesus loves me. What a powerful statement to make, and what a deep statement to make about someone who gave up so much because he loves me so much. If you would, I want to just read the words here, and then I want to say a little more about it, but Jesus loves me, the song exclaims. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Verse 2. Jesus loves me, he who died heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let the little let his little child come in. Verse 3, Jesus loves me still, though I am very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high, comes to watch me where I lie. Verse 4, Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. On the cross you died for me, I will try to live for thee. In Matthew 19, you remember Jesus calls the little children to himself. And I imagine that may have been in the mind of the one who wrote this song. It's definitely in my mind when I sing it. And I think about how much Jesus loves our children, but even us. And if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 3, I want to share with you something that Paul stated about the love of Jesus. Ephesians 3 and verse 14, Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why, Paul? "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the and length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." John writes in his epistle, God is love. When we try to comprehend, as Paul states, the width, the length, the depth and height of God's love, we find it an impossible task. Because he does love us so. Jesus demonstrated that tremendous love and all that he did for us, especially in going to the cross for us. And through his blood and his sacrifice, you and I have a protection that the world cannot offer. Will you join me in singing this song as well?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high, comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. On the cross you died for me,
I will try to live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Last hymn that we're going to look at tonight is hymn number 608. God's Family. This song was written in 1997 by Lanny Wolf. And when you think about, we've thought about God's love for us, the Father's love. We've thought about Jesus' love for us. But what about our love for one another? You know, there are things that happen between us, and sometimes we hurt one another in different ways. And it would be so easy for us to concentrate on the hurts that we've had. And some, unfortunately, do. And some, it's too much for them, and they fall away. And our hearts are broken in those situations. But instead of concentrating on the hurts that happened to us, why don't we consider all the ways our family, our church family, has helped us, has blessed us, because they have. It's so easy for Satan to get into our heads and to make us concentrate on the negatives of life. He does it with our spouse. You ever sit there and ponder how your spouse has hurt you at one time or another? And does that affect your relationship? Yeah, it does. Same is true with your church family. Those hurts, if we choose to focus on those, it's going to damage our love and our unity, our care for one another. But if we would choose instead to focus on the positive things that have happened. Now, we need to deal with negative things. And the Bible gives us a prescription of exactly how to do that. Unfortunately, we're not always willing to do what the Bible's asked us to do. We go on and we mutter to ourselves where they can't hear. And that continues to be a problem instead of dealing with it in a biblical way. But when we have dealt with it, when we've overcome it, we can't continue to concentrate on it and to think about it. We do need to remember that we're part of a family. This song here, I just want to read the words. We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory through his precious name. Verse 3, and though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city as we enter in, there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. We're part of a family. I hope you're part of God's family. Notice what Jesus says in John 13. He says, John 13 and verse 34, John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you. So this isn't something they've heard before. This is not the way the rabbis teach the law. This is a change. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one, if you have love for one another. Now I want you to notice, okay, he says it's a new commandment, but it's a commandment about loving one another. Does the Old Testament not teach us to love one another? Jesus earlier said, upon these two things hinge the old law and the prophets. What? To love God and to love your neighbor. The Old Testament talked about love. Then what's new about it? Notice the condition or the new perspective on it. He says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. See, the world had never seen love like the love Jesus has for his family, for his disciples. That put a whole new spin on this idea of loving one another. To love people as Jesus loves people, we all got a lot of work to do, people. But that is our goal. That should be our goal. Is to love like Jesus loves. When we're interacting with one another, we need to ask ourselves a question. Am I loving this brother or sister like Jesus would love them? Or am I loving them like the world would love them? Do I love my spouse like Jesus loves my spouse? Like Jesus loves me? Not all the time. I got work to do. And then he ends in verse 35 by saying, all will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. Our unity, our love here says a lot to those out there. If we're bickering and fighting and showing all kinds of acts of an unloving behavior and attitude, what does the world see? There's something wrong there. I don't want to be a part of that. But if we're loving one another as Christ has loved us, when we are dealing with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, the world will see that, and there will be those who look and say, I want to be a part of that. Even those who don't want to be a part of it will look and will say, well, there's something different about those people. They're not like the rest of us. There's enough evidence on the news right now to see hate and bitterness. Oh, it's scary. That should never happen here. And if it does, it needs to be corrected. Do we love the family? Because we are family. If you've been wronged, deal with it. If you've wronged someone else, deal with it. Talk to them. Correct it. Will you join me in singing this hymn?
We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family. It's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be. When we all get to heaven, God's family. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he passed through the valley, we all feel relief. together in sunshine, together in pain, together in victory, through Christ's precious name. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again just inside the city as we enter in. There'll be no more parting, with Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
In case you didn't mark it before, the closing hymn's 452. Today, we have focused on love, and specifically the love that God has for us and the love we have for one another. No greater demonstration of love could ever be given than what was given by Jesus Christ. He loved us so much, He was willing to go the extra mile for us, way beyond what we could have expected of God. See, what we did to ourselves when we sin, we did it ourselves. And we have no one else to blame but ourselves. I may try, but I can't blame someone else for what I've done wrong. I own that. And I deserve to be punished for it, as all of us do. But God saw past my sin because He loves each and every one of us so very much. Sometimes we're a very unlovable creature, and we do things that just don't make sense. And I'm sure sometimes God just scratches His head and wonders, what are you thinking? But Paul says to the Roman church that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that happened 2,000 years ago. I wasn't alive then. But you know, on that cross, He had you and I in mind. Our salvation was on the line. We can't do it by ourselves. Only God can do that. Only God can bridge the gap between us and Him. And He's done that. He offers that to you, to me. Do you want to experience the love of God? It's found in obeying the gospel. Jesus says in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He says a chapter later in John 15 and verse 14, "If you are my friends, you will do what I say." Are you a friend of Jesus? Do you really love Jesus as much as He loves you? Or even somewhat of what he loves you, then it shouldn't be a problem to do what he's asked us to do. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, you can become one. Obey the gospel. Repent of your sins. Change your life. Begin living for God. Confess Jesus as Lord. And when you are immersed into the waters, when you come back up, you are one of Christ's child. You're one of God's children. You will find yourself in Christ and your sins washed away. Do you need to have your sins washed away tonight? Do you need to become a child of God's tonight? Maybe you're a Christian who's fallen short and you have not demonstrated the kind of love that God expects. Maybe you need to do some repenting tonight. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you just need the help of the church, and we're here and ready to pray with you. If you have any need at all, please come as together we stand and sing.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.